Hello out there in Radio Land. Prell here with another exciting installment of Prell Profiles, your opportunity to meet celebrity guests up close and in person. Tonight we have a very special guest, someone who most of you will no doubt remember, someone who's kept rather low profile for no other reason than that the media mongrels have lied and distorted and dragged his name through the mud so often that whenever he does say something, it's taken out of context. But someone who has served this country and this world in a very great capacity, and I'm very proud to have supported and to have known personally since 1968, and it's former President Richard Nixon. I hope it doesn't bother you when I tell him that we know each other as friends, does it? I mean, I always assumed you were protecting me, but...
To answer the question quite candidly, it drives my family right up the wall.
Oh, really?
And it's only because it bothers them that it would bother me at all.
Oh, well, you're just kidding, of course. Tell us, just to get things started, what are you doing these days? Or better yet, what would you like to be doing these days?
Boy, if I could just be a millionaire, that would be the most wonderful thing. If I could just not have to work every day, if I could just be out fishing or hunting or playing golf or traveling, that'd be the most wonderful life in the world.
Yeah, I know the feeling, but wouldn't that be a little bit hard on your family? I mean, trying to make a living and all, wouldn't that be a little bit repressive?
I went through it through all the years I've been in public life. And they've never been repressed as far as I'm concerned. I don't want them repressed. But believe me, when they take me on, or when they take any public figure on, I think the public figure ought to come back and crack them right in the puss.
Oh, really? Well, I hope that doesn't go for your wife also. But what about Watergate? You know, I hate to even bring this up. I hesitate to bring it up at any rate because I know it's a touchy subject with you. But a lot of our listeners are these left-wing news media types that, you know, tie up into my show in order to get the scoop on upcoming news. And they've always been accusing you of, conspiracy to obstruct justice and that whole media hype. Do you have any words to retort to them about this accusation of obstructing justice?
Well, in answer to that question, I think that the best procedure would be for us to do exactly what you're going to do in this program.
What's that?
To go through the whole record in which I will say what I did, what my motives were.
We're doing that?
Then I will give you my evaluation as to whether those actions or anything I said, for that matter, amounted to what you have called an obstruction of justice.
Well, I didn't call it an obstruction of justice. They called it an obstruction of justice. I'm just parroting them or paraphrasing them as it is. But, well, let's go ahead and confront this whole issue. Let's start with agenda number one of the Watergate issue. What do you regret most of all about that whole Watergate schmear, the resignation, the pardons, everything, all that business?
Most of all, I let down an opportunity that I would have had for 2.5 more years to proceed on great projects and programs for building a lasting peace.
Oh,
which has been my dream, as you know, from our first interview in 1968.
Oh, yeah.
Before I had any thought I might even win that year.
I didn't think you were going to win either.
I didn't tell you I didn't think I might.
Well, I didn't tell you either. Yeah, those are the days.
Yep. I let the American people down.
No, you didn't let us down, Dick. You didn't let us down at all. In fact, I think you've done quite well with the advice you've given to other presidents and, well, just your presence. You know, you didn't go just disappear from the scene. You were a real he-man, and I think you're one of America's all-time unsung heroes. You know, you take the abuse, and you just kind of, you know, take it like a real stoic. You know, I got a lot of respect for that. But speaking of stoics, we should follow up on this Watergate bit and get the whole thing, you know, swept underneath the rug and taken care of once and for all. So let's follow up with this second question here, if you don't mind. Did you do anything illegal before or after that whole Watergate biz?
I can only say that, in answer to your question, that while technically I did not commit a crime,
sure,
an impeachable offense, These are legalism.
Sure, yeah.
As far as the handling of this matter was concerned, it was so botched up.
Yeah. Well, you only
made so many bad judgments.
Sure.
The worst ones, mistakes of the heart rather than the head, as I pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
But let me say, a man in that top judge,
top job, yeah,
he's got to have a heart.
Yeah.
But his head must always rule his heart.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Dick. And in fact, in the Marines, we used to always say the little head rules the big head, even though it should be the other way around. But be that as it may, what about a cover-up? This is something that you've also been accused of, and I guess it's probably the biggest of the three charges that have been put against you.
Now, let's use the word cover-up, though, in the sense that it should be used and should not be used.
Be my guest, since you are.
If a cover-up is for the purpose of covering up criminal activities, it is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
If, however, a cover-up, as you have called it,
that they have called it,
is for a motive that is not criminal.
Mm-hmm.
That is something else again. And my motive was not criminal.
Oh.
I didn't believe that we were covering any criminal activities.
Well, I guess there you have it then. There wasn't anything illegal. There was no obstruction of justice. And there wasn't a cover-up. So I guess the whole Watergate thing was a pack of lies that the media invented to basically put their friend Jimmy in the office. Now, that we brought up Jimmy and we put this whole Watergate issue back behind us where it belongs, let's talk about Jimmy for just a bit. I've heard rumors, now this is just rumors, mind you, that he is a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Is there any truth to that?
I'll never forget the day that we were riding on his yacht. His yacht, that old Sequoia that President Carter is now putting mothballs. And we were sitting in the bow.
You and Jimmy.
Yeah, that's right. No, the stern.
Right, the stern.
We were sitting in the stern. We were sitting down at the end of the yacht, in the back of the yacht.
Mm-hmm.
Together. All of a sudden, impulsively, he reached over and grabbed me. He was kind of like Johnson that way. He likes to grab people.
Johnson was that way too, eh?
He and Johnson had a lot of fun.
My goodness.
They're much alike.
Really?
And he put his arm around me, and he said, you know...
No, maybe we better stop here. I don't want to get too personal about this, you know. I mean, you got to remember who our audience is. So let's leave Jimmy and go on to another issue if we might. Because you know what they're going to say. They're going to say that you only say that because he's a liberal and you're trying to discredit him.
I didn't want to discredit the man as an individual. I couldn't care less about the punk.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to discredit that kind of activity,
uh-huh,
which was despicable and damaging to the national interest.
Well, I agree, but be that as it may, we should probably move along, okay? Because if the word gets out that you're a homophobe or something like that, it's just going to be another label they're going to be able to plaster you with and another reason for them to hate you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know. I understand that, and it gets back to the statement that I made, rather emotional statement, the day I left office. And
uh-huh.
I said, don't hate other people because hatred destroys yourself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I want to say here that I have a temper. I control it publicly rather well.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes privately I blow off some steam.
Yeah, me too.
But also, as I've indicated, if and this is very hard for people to believe, but I think you can believe it.
Oh, really?
For our session a few hours ago.
Uh-huh.
My weaknesses is perhaps where personal factors are concerned.
Oh, really?
Let's take the Kennedys now.
Please.
Did you know that in 8 years,
uh-huh,
after Mrs. Nixon and I had served in Washington for 8 years, uh-huh, vice president, I was vice president, she is my wife.
Oh, not the other way around, yeah.
We were never invited to the White House.
Oh, really?
To a dinner or to a lunch.
Wow.
I remember Rosemary Woods, my secretary, who made up the invitation list, went out of her mind.
Uh-huh.
When I put Hubert Humphrey on the list.
Hubert Humphrey.
When I put, for example, invited Jackie Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That takes care of that.
Uh-huh. Well, I know what you mean. And just between you and me and the microphone, I certainly sympathize. But times have changed, and we're in this new age, an atmosphere of acceptance. Anything and everything goes, if you know what I mean.
Let me tell you this.
Uh-huh.
That atmosphere, however, has to be understood in the context of the time.
Sure, sure.
This nation was at war.
Back then, yeah.
Men were dying. The people that got us into the war.
The liberals.
The brightest and the best proved to be the worst in this crisis. Because they could, like Ruskin Rostow, at least have either supported
Ruskin Rostow
or given us a chance to get out of the war that they'd gotten us into. But on the other hand, they turned totally around. And they stirred up the demonstrators. They couldn't possibly, in my view, intelligent as they are, have not understood that this kind of activity, the divisiveness in America, was making it very difficult for us to convince the North Vietnamese that they ought to negotiate. Now, that's why Henry Kissinger, when you talk about this whole matter of leaks and so forth, and people think that maybe Kissinger went a little overboard at times on it, or that I did. But I'll never forget when the Cambodian leak occurred. And we said, Henry, it's possible it might be somebody on your staff. And Henry said, I will destroy them.
Good imitation, yeah.
Now, Henry's not a mean man.
No, no.
I mean, he's not one that would, after, you know, his background, knowing what the
Jewish, Holocaust,
but really, the
Hitler's Germany.
Hitler's Germany.
Yeah.
Who's going to do that. But he says, I will destroy them. Why do we feel this way? We felt this way because the people on the other side
hypocritical.
They were sanctimonious.
Sanctimonious.
And they were not serving the best interests of the country. This is why I must say Henry and I felt so strongly about it. And
me too.
Call it paranoia, but paranoia for peace isn't that bad.
Hey, you know, I kind of like that. Paranoia for peace. That could be a new catchphrase, you know. Maybe we should try that in the next election, huh? And speaking about elections, what do we have to do, sir, to get you back into that office, to get you interested in politics again? I mean, you know, George Bush can only be president for one more term after this one, and the media's already done their lying number on Dan Quayle. It doesn't matter if the guy's an intellectual genius. No one's ever going to listen to him again. So what about you, sir? What do we have to do to get you back interested in politics? Would you entertain the idea of running again?
Absolutely not.
No?
No.
Well, I'm terribly sorry to hear that. But I guess you also are in kind of that same position, media-wise. If the press has done their number on you, too, and some people do have long memories. But since we're on the subject of the media, do you have any remarks that you want to address to the press?
As far as my attitude toward the press is concerned, I respect some. But for those who write history as fiction, on third-hand knowledge, I have nothing but utter contempt. And I will never forgive them.
Never.
Never.
Well, and right, you shouldn't, because they don't deserve to be forgiven. But tell me this. If you could put your finger on one thing that you hate most about the media, what would that one thing be?
Understand. Not for being against me.
Oh, no, no.
I mean, after all, being against me, that's politics.
Politics, yeah.
Even when you get... win an election, as we did, 61-38. That means that there are 40 million people that are against you. Right?
Yeah, right. Okay.
And as far as these people are concerned, that I understand. And I would respect. But when it comes to fictionalizing fact...
and lying.
And doing it in a vicious way, that I will not forget. And I consider it to be contemptible journalism.
Well, it is contemptible journalism, and there's a lot of it going around out there, let me tell you. I myself... no journalist at this very station who edit up and chop things up and take remarks out of context and indulge in editorializing instead of news reporting. But I better not mention any names because the walls have ears, if you know what I mean. And we're running out of time anyway. So unless you have any other remarks to make, I guess that about winds it up for this week's exciting installment of Prell Profiles.
With regard to the whole payments problem.
Now, wait a minute. Let's not talk about the payments problem right now. I told you that's all been resolved. You know that.
That's right. But my point is, the question we have is whether or not the payment was made.
The payment was made. It's in the mail, I tell you. Now, just relax and don't start getting funny on me.
Ha, ha, ha. Isn't that just fun and games?
No, it's not fun and games. It's fun and games! Sense of humor, you had me going there, Dickie. You know, I want to thank you for all that you've done, and I'm glad to see that through the years, your sense of humor hasn't been tarnished at all. And I want to thank you for appearing on the Prell Profiles, as well as being, 38th president, was it? And come back again, all right? You'll do that, huh? Let's play this outro, and then we can continue on, all right?
The views expressed here do not necessarily represent those of KZSU, its staff, and...